Hey guys, it's Natalie. Welcome to part two of our interview with Mackenzie Westmore. Last week, Mackenzie opened up to us about almost getting arrested in Paris, body images, and generally her life on Passions. We knew it was going to be a two-parter pretty early on in the interview. So we took a little break. And after the break, we ended up talking about her son, Maddox, and how he has turned to health and wellness during quarantine.
And I actually did become a personal trainer, a certified trainer nutritionist while we were doing Passions.
In all your spare time.
Oh my God.
Yes. While we were doing Passions on the weekends, instead of like going out, I was going to school because I love it that much. And so I got certified. And so I told him, I said, look, I'll be your trainer. I'll help you out. I'll get you through and I'll create a plan for you. And so with that, you know, he likes me to help him understand the foods and, you know, what, like how to get like the right amount of protein and the right amount of carbohydrates and fats without being crazy and without being neurotic about it. And this is where
still enjoying life.
And that's my big thing to him is that you're 14, you still have to enjoy life. Yes, you can have some Oreo cookies. That's okay. And even bodybuilders will have Oreo cookies. So it's finding that balance because I didn't have that growing up. And in not having that, when we got onto Passions, with some of the things that I was dealing with of being told either by production or seeing it from on the fan message boards, I dealt with an eating disorder. And I'd say a couple of years after you guys left, I was hospitalized for a good 2 weeks of dealing with anorexia because my weight plummeted so much. I just was so stressed out. Again, having to stand next to some of these actresses that were so thin and I just couldn't get there. But I did eventually. And I'll never forget, it was basically, I was told again by production that either you show back up to work or you're going to get sued. You, if you stay in the hospital, you're going to get sued.
These people they really took great care of you. At what point had production already taken you up to the office at one point and talked to you about your weight when this had happened, or was this before they had said anything to you?
This time?
Yeah.
They had already said, I had already been through the rigmarole several times, twice of them calling me up to the office and telling me that I was too fat and that I needed to lose weight. So it had already happened twice. So it already kind of set me up on a path of, okay, they think I'm fat. I already feel fat standing next to some of these girls. So, okay, I obviously I'm fat. I look back and I wasn't.
No, you were not. Was there ever any accountability taken from anyone in production at all? Was there any kind of acknowledgement that perhaps?
Nope. Never.
I'm really sorry.
Never.
That happened.
It was all on me. It was all me.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, this is why things are happening that are happening now. You know what I mean? With the Me
Absolutely.
Stuff and all
the
that.
Me Too movement, yeah.
It's like so many people have suffered.
Exactly. And, you know, there's some stories that I'm like, yes, I'm for it. And then there's some Me Too's where I'm like, you know what, just sit down and shut up. There, I go both ways, you know, because there's somewhere where I think it's treading a fine line.
It's really complicated.
But I mean,
it is complicated.
And it is complicated, but it's not just exclusive to our world.
It's across the board all works of life.
Yeah.
All walks of life deal with it.
You were out for 2 weeks and they threatened you with legal action if you didn't pull yourself up by your bootstraps and come back to work when you were in the middle of this horrific sort of experience. Yep. How did you do it? What did you do?
I left the hospital and I had to I explained to them what was going on because they were not going to release me. And I explained to them what was going on, what my situation was. And they said the only way that they would allow me to leave was if I would go sit with not an AA group, but it's like AA for eating disorders daily. So every day after work, I would have to go to this group.
Do you think it help?
It did. Okay, it definitely did. Yeah. I mean, to not be in this, I mean, and to be honest with you, the whole hospitalization situation, it was horrible. What I went through even in that I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemy. It was horrible. The life you have to live when you're looked under a microscope like that. I get they're trying to help fix something, but at the same time, there really wasn't that much to fix because I really did have a good grasp of how to help myself. Right. I just didn't have the right surrounding of people around me to help.
And have support. Yeah. And,
I didn't have the right support around me. I could have done it on my own. I know that I could have, but many people were like, no, just shove her away. Yeah. So I went with it. I just went with what I was told to do and thought I had the best people around me guiding me, and I didn't. So I just did it. And that's how I know to come out of the hospital 2 weeks and to be able to do it. And like you said, pull up my bootstraps and do it. I did it. So I did fight through it. And I'll never forget, you know, the percentage of someone living through what I did is very small. And so I know that my inner constitution, who I am, I definitely have the strength within me to do it. And that's why I'm happy to be open about this now because I want to help other women and men through this and to show other people that you can fight through this, you can get through it. It's very difficult. It is mentally draining, but when you have the right support around you, and that's why when I see my son getting into bodybuilding and wanting to do these things, you know, I love it because I love nutrition. I love fitness, but at the same time, knowing that he's a young, impressionable age, very watchful. I'm watching him like a hawk.
And I think the fact that you're willing to talk about this and share something so deeply personal is part of the beginning of just us having a very national conversation.
Awareness.
International, like a global conversation.
Global conversation.
About what we, and yes, there's certainly men are affected personally by this, but I think, you know, it is very much, something that's dominated in the female community, I believe is how you say it now.
And it really is with our industry too. You know, you can't get away from the fact that, you know, when your job is your body and your face and your hair, you can't help. But, and that's also too with Westmore Beauty, why I'm creating a lot of the products I've created, because yes, it is my family's history, but you know, like I've launched a product, but I'm going on next Friday night with a hair product that has to do with hair loss. It does help in thinning hair and hair loss. Our hair is our identity. And because I had gone through some things that I went through, just the other day, I had a chunk of hair come out. And it's freaking me out that, you know, I'm going through some of these things. And that's why I'm thrilled to bring products to the market that these are products that starlets use, because when you're on camera, you can't be who you really are.
No,
you have to put on this. So we're not allowed to be ourselves unless it's a reality show.
Right. Even then.
Exactly.
Yeah. Even more so, I think. Well, that's, I wanted to talk to you a little bit about Westmore Beauty and how, as far as the research I did, what I gleaned, and please, you know, jump in anytime, but what I gleaned from it is that you're one of your bigger sellers, one of the things that you're sort of known for is the body makeup, the coverage.
Yep.
Oh man.
Yeah.
You're really doing a national service for the entire community, really. It's so fitting that somebody who was on a soap for so long is doing what you're doing, because I remember one of the first tests for a soap, I was for Sunset Beach. I went in to the makeup room and I saw an actress just bathing in body makeup, and it illuminated, like my brain just cracked open, and I was like, so you don't look like that.
Right.
So we can all be on television. Right. And it was so important for me to see that. And the fact that the general population doesn't understand that no one looks like that. I think it's really beautiful and great of you to provide this for people who don't fucking know. How are you supposed to
know? That was really a big drive for me, was when we were on Passions, I was like the girl you just described. I was constantly, how many times was I in a bikini or in lingerie? And I was doused in body makeup and by some of the top people too, some of the top artists that came off of like Baywatch and things like that. But that stuff rubs off.
Yeah.
And then you go to use a self tanner and you don't get the coverage.
And you smell like self tanner.
You smell like a dead fish.
He calls it crayon or Mexican food, depending on the brand.
It's
all crayon.
Some of them are just such a bad. So in fact, it's funny you say that, because when I was going through the testing process of, which actually this is my super size of the body coverage. When I was going through the testing process of it, I'm very hands-on, and I always joke that I'm the guinea pig. I test everything on myself. Like, you know, we're cruelty-free. We are, you know, all on the up and up, and I am the one that everything gets tested on. And when we're going through the testing process, I got the first batch of the body coverage and it was very matte. And I said, but skin, young skin has sheen to it. Not, you know,
oh yeah, we need some shimmer.
We need shimmer. We need just a nice glow.
Yeah.
And so then the next one that came was like disco balls. And I was like, no, it's not right. No, it can't be like that blingy. I mean, it was like ridiculous. The third one, I don't know what happened, but the third one they sent me, I remember putting it on. I was like, okay, it smells kind of funny. And then my husband walks in the room. And he's like, did you just have sushi?
Oh no.
No. He said, they take that off right now. You smell horrible. Finally, we have locked in on the right formula of like the right amount of sheen, no smell, because that's another thing. I'm very allergic to scent. So all my products are scent free. And I also feel like I don't want to dictate what someone smells like. You know, if you want to smell like vanilla, if you want to smell like cinnamon, whatever you want, you can add to it then.
Whatever stripper flavor you want. You
exactly. You want to smell like a cherry, go for it. That was a big one for me. And I was really driven to create something that would give a boost of color if you wanted, or keep your own natural color, but was waterproof, sweatproof, transferproof. And this stuff does, when it's applied properly, can last up to 4 days. I've had it last.
Our sheets have been through the ringer. Well, not lately because I haven't been working, but when I'm working.
Yeah.
This one's not so keen on that. So just send it my way.
I will. You tell me what shade.
I'll buy it. I can
buy it. Come on. You can stop it. Stop it.
No, but seriously, thank you for doing that. I think it's really cool that you're doing that. And you know, I know that it's your family. We won't get into your family because I know that it's like, that's a whole other chapter, but I know that you come from a very, very long legacy. And I think this is a really great way to sort
of pretty cool
21st century, everything that they have done and kind of bring it into the modern age, if you will.
I'm very honored and thrilled that I've been able to go down this path and not down, but continue on this path. It's not a path I ever saw myself on, funny enough. But ironically, when I was 17, 18 years old, and I'm sorry if you keep hearing that ding. When I was 17, 18 years old, I remember reading an article on my dad where they called him the last of the living dinosaurs. And he really was one of the last makeup artists to run a lab, design a makeup, run the lab, run the foam, run the rubber, apply it, be on set. He was the last one to do it. Now it's very it's like there are different sections. Now you have somebody that designs. Now you have somebody that has the lab. You have somebody on set. And that's Face-Off, essentially, is why we had three different judges. My dad being one of the last to do it all. And I mean, the last two people that he was the personal to was Sylvester Stallone and Elizabeth Taylor. In fact, I just heard a story yesterday. My dad finally admitted to all of us that he was doing a movie with Sylvester Stallone. I think it was First Blood. They were on an ice cap and the helicopter was ready to take off and things were getting a little precarious and there wasn't enough room on the helicopter and they were going to leave my dad by himself and come back and get him. That's how sweet my dad is. And Sylvester Stallone apparently grabbed him and threw him on his lap and said, you're not staying on this ice cap. You're coming with us. My dad would have died. Yeah. So, but my mom and I were like kind of laughing, not really, but we're like, this is how sweet my dad is.
Yeah.
So we're like, he's the one that would be like, no, you go. I'll stay. I'll wait here. Just come back. Amazing. When you can. God. So, but with that, you know, that history of the family and the Westmores, you know, it's been, my family's been doing this for over 100 years.
Yeah.
My great-grandfather was the wig maker to the royal court. He was Winston Churchill's barber. He was the first makeup artist ever on a Hollywood movie set. They did invent things like false eyelashes for movies. They did invent translucent powder. They invented the airbrush machine. And so with all of that history and their secrets and their tips, that's where, because I'm such an honest person, that's where I now want to come forward with this honesty of what the starlets and the upper echelon have had access to that not the everyday woman has not had access to these secrets. And that's my goal with Westmore Beauty is to bring these Hollywood secrets to every woman, because every woman deserves to have these tips and
it's important. I think it's important for people to know, for women to know, and men, that this is all, you know,
it's smoke and mirrors.
It's all smoke and mirrors, and you too can have all the smoke and the mirrors you want. And and that's why I think it's very honorable, and I think it's really.
Really? Thank you. No, I'm so thrilled to be doing this. You know, I was just on recently with one, our second hero product now. It's called the 60-Second IFX. And this stuff is no joke. In fact, when I saw the before and afters from my company, I called them and I said, we can't put out doctored up photos. This is illegal. And they're like, no, we know that. We know it's illegal. And they're a big company. They're like, we would never even chance or risk putting out, you know, doctored photos. But it really looks like they've been touched up. And it's a product that just completely diminishes bags and wrinkles and puffiness. And every time I see something where somebody's like, oh my God, she's had so much surgery done, I'm like, no, I just have great products that work. I've created great products that, you know, give that lift. And that's why this product keeps selling out, because it works. And it's a product that instantly diminishes everything. I've even seen it lift eyelids on women and men. And it lasts all day. And you can't see it because it has color correctors in it. And it blends in with any skin tone, making it universal for every skin tone. And that's the other big driving force for me with Westmore Beauty, is making this available to every skin tone. This is not just one shade fits all. This is for everyone. Yeah. So that's now become a new hero product. And the same thing with the body coverage. You know, it comes in every skin tone, and we're expanding it. Over the next year, we are going to be coming out with more and more shades to expand even more. Because, you know, when you start off, you got to start small, and you got to build from there.
You know what we do in our spare time? None of that. We don't build makeup empires. We don't go get our training certificate. We don't
We
do podcasts. What do we do? We do a podcast. We do.
Which
I am teaching my daughter.
To do.
I love you too.
It was our friend's idea. It was Val's idea.
Yeah, it wasn't
anyway.
Even our idea. But this is good to
hear. I love you too.
To hear all of your accomplishments, because it's really going to motivate us.
It does. It doesn't motivate me. It just makes me feel worse than I already feel. Like
I'm going to get him to build a tree house for the kids.
That's my next project.
Awesome. But see, that's amazing. Come on.
No, he's very handy. He's a very handy gentleman. And that counts for something.
Mackenzie, this is a very lame story, but I did CSI. And, you know, of course, in the episode, I died. I got blown up in a plane. And so the guys laid me down, and they had to do the full, you know, laying on the gurney makeup. So I had the big, you know, autopsy scar on me. And I was laying there for, you know, you got to lay there for an hour while they do the whole body. And I always name drop. I'm always like, you know, I used to work with a Westmore. And they're like,
totally name dropping.
And then, no, what was so funny is immediately they're like, oh, yeah. And they know more about you than I do. You know what I mean? Like, they're like, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not sure. Oh, no, that's, yeah, you guys probably would know that, because this is your life. Yeah. You're special effects guys. But it's so funny. I'm always like, I used to.
So I got to say, it got to the point through some of my photo shoots, like headshots especially, where I would, or if I went to like a PR thing, I would purposely tell them ahead of time, do not put my last name on the call sheet. Do not say. I actually had a makeup artist walk out.
Yeah.
Because they were too afraid of a bad job, and they left, and we had no makeup artists.
They're like, I'll never work in this town again.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. Who did your makeup on Passions? Was it Natasha? Or no?
No. Very like, they knew the family, and they were always super sweet and just, they were incredible about, you know, doing their job and knowing the history and, you know, no, they were fantastic. And I mean, if anything, they would say to me, you know, could you please not go to your dressing room and change anything I did? That was the only thing they would say.
Yeah. Well, that's what we do.
I actually didn't do that.
On
I would
passion.
Wipe
Neither
off.
Did I never
I learned,
did.
I learned later to do it.
I did not learn.
And then I learned to just tell them that I don't like this. Change it. That was years later. That was
years
like
later. Yeah. No, I actually really liked both of their work, and I found that I never really had to do anything. There was never.
Yeah.
There were maybe times where the eye makeup would be a little strong, and I would just say, "Hey, can we take it down?"
No, on Passion.
Yeah. No. Right. Okay. My favorite though was going over Niagara Falls and coming out the other end and being perfect.
But yeah, you should. Girl.
Yeah. That was the only time where I went to production and I said, hold up now.
Hold up.
Can I please have no makeup, a couple of scratches on my face, and like really trashed hair? And they're like,
no.
Nope, you got to look beautiful.
I just
went over Niagara Falls.
Yeah, but you were the hero. You couldn't. Yeah. Conversely,
no.
When I, like I had mentioned before, when I walked out of my dressing room looking too goddamn hot, they would send me right back in there and have me change.
Are you serious?
And they would change my hair. Yeah, there was a couple of times where everybody was so excited. They're like, we really love this look, like wardrobe and hair and makeup. They'd be like, you're great. Yeah. I'd be like, I really do. I feel really good. Oh, God. I'd walk onto the set and the producers would be like, or the stage manager, Roy, would be like,
Hold up.
Roy.
Like he would hear something in his ear because listeners, the stage managers have the producers literally in their ear. And he'd be like,
they wear headsets.
Sweetheart, they're going to need you to go change. And I would be like, change what? And he'd be like, yeah, all of it. Your wardrobe. Yeah.
We're gonna move on and put you at the end of the day.
Is that not the worst when you needed to change something and you get moved to the end of the day?
That was the worst
feeling. Oh my God. I remember stuff like that. Usually wardrobe was a thing for me, but again, it was my weight that was the issue with wardrobe, and I would get changed into something that was more covering. But that's an easy fix. And it got to the point where I would just say to them, just bring the shirt to set. I'm not going to my dressing room. Yeah. I don't care if I have to change in front of the entire crew. Yeah. And I would do it. I didn't care. It's just, you get to that point where you're like, you're so frustrated and you don't want to be moved to the end of the day that the crew needs. And everybody was so respectful, but I would just rip my shirt off and put a new one on. I did not care. Finally, I couldn't tell you.
Didn't have time to figure that out.
Yeah, didn't have time. Off camera stories, but
I do too. I know.
Yeah. So, but what I didn't like
shows about guys.
Those stories
what
are not
kind of.
We'll go places. No, we'll go places.
We can't go there.
We can't go there.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, there's plenty. I know you guys have a plethora as well.
There's behind the scenes.
behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Going back to the whole Sheridan and Chris, that to me was the biggest insult. Whether it was a quick wrap up, whether it was plotted out, I don't care. It was an insult to the fans. It was an insult for me. Are you there? Come on in. Oh, I want you to meet Patrick really quick. This is the man.
What's up?
Hi.
Hey. Chelsea Natalie.
Hey, how's
nice
it going?
How's it going?
Nice to meet you.
So you guys met on...
Oh, sorry.
No, it's okay.
Oh, right. You can't hear us.
You guys met on Face Off, right?
Yes.
Yes.
Right? Okay, yeah. And you were a judge?
A judge. Some sort of judge, yes.
Okay. I always like to joke that he left for a real job. I stayed.
Right.
Right. Weirdly enough, though, we met... He doesn't remember it. When I was 17 years old, I was at a friend's birthday party, and I remember seeing this guy walk by.
Okay, I have to go.
A dog.
Smart.
No, I'm going to let you guys chat, but I just wanted to say hi because she talks so much about you.
Like, you got to come in and say hi because Travis was like a brother to me. And
no, it's great.
I got to know him.
Good to meet you.
I hope we get to meet each other again.
In person.
I would love that. That maybe someday.
I hope so. Take care of yourself. Ciao.
Very nice to meet you.
Yeah.
I love you. Oh, thank you. Thanks, you got in great. Thanks. Bye, baby.
Bye.
I have to get Maddox in here at some point if I can.
Or what is he? Because the accent's delightful.
So he was very confusing to me when I first met him. And to be honest with you, when we first worked on Face Off, I didn't put two and two together that we had already met, but I didn't like him. Because when I really, you guys do? No way.
Well, no, he loved me. He all going through it. It's so good to hear.
We are.
Ray said that to me when it was like that, you know, last weekend it was 115 or whatever.
Oh my God.
And I'm sitting at the table and I had my shirt unbuttoned because it's just the house couldn't get, it just wasn't
cold enough. Yeah.
And I run hot anyways. He looks at me and she goes, can you button that up? Because I don't like looking at you with your shirt half opened. And I was like, oh, sorry. Yeah.
She doesn't like looking at me. She gets mad when I wear a crop top. She's like, Mom, no, no.
Oh my God, you're kidding.
I don't want to see that, she says.
Yeah. Maddox, when he was younger, if I wore a shirt that was like off the shoulder, he would always pick it up and put it on. and pull it up.
Kids are such prudes.
He was such a prude. Now he doesn't care. But back like when he was younger, it was always like, you cannot drop me off at school like that. You have to be clothed. But as far as like the like unbutton thing, we had a live that we did together for my company. And it was so funny because I even pointed out, because being French Greek, it's just natural for him that he doesn't like start his buttons until like here.
Yeah.
And I'm like, are you trying to fight for the cleavage here? Like, what's going on? Like, can you maybe try one more button?
No, that's what you get.
No, that's, I've just relinquished. It's what you get. I'm just, I'm happy a shirt shows up once in a while at the dinner table.
That's all you can really
I can ask for
at this point.
That's all I can ask for.
Oh, Mackenzie. COVID times.
So COVID times. Yes. Yeah. Welcome to COVID 101.
What else? What haven't we covered? Do you want to talk any more about the ending?
Oh, yeah.
Said your piece?
No, whatever. I mean, honestly, I just feel it really was, an insult to the fans. Yeah. And I think it was an insult to the characters. I think it was an insult to Galen and I. Yeah. You know, for whatever reason they chose to do it. I don't know the true reasoning behind it. I just think it was a horrible ending. I just think it was really horrible. And I wish that we could almost redo Passions in some ways. I wish they would bring, like, I wish like Netflix would bring Passions back. And even at the age we're at, we all come back and, you know, I would
Natalie
do it.
And I were discussing the other day about if they were to bring it back and air it on Peacock or something like that. And I joked, I said, I don't know. Maybe the reason they're not is because it will offend literally everyone.
Everyone.
Because the show was very offensive towards the end. You know, they were just.
Yes, that's true.
In an obvious way. And then it's just,
I think they would have to revamp a lot of things.
Yeah.
And I think they really have to start from scratch, and that our characters would be the ages we are, and it would be our children. To me, the story would be our children. Like, that's what it would have to be about.
You guys would be the Andrea, Kim. Yeah. Ben.
We'd be the right. James, the Kims, the Bens. Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be fun.
Well, because
who am I?
You're out.
Am I chef?
So you would be there too.
Sure, you'd be Chef Binet. Sure.
Or, no,
I don't think we would be invited.
Julian?
No,
can I be
we
Julian?
Were on the show for
I
6 minutes.
Be Julian.
We're not.
Can I be the swarmy creepy?
That could be like the twist. Yeah. We find out that you really are Julian.
You're
my brother. You are my brother.
It would make so much more sense.
That makes so much sense.
And then
Eric can come back, and he can be Ethan.
Right, yes.
But you really are Julian.
But I'm
well,
Julian.
I've been doing research about Ben, and I can't find him. So.
No. Okay, here's the thing. We've all tried to find Ben.
Really?
Okay. We've all reached out to him. Nobody can find him. And then the other week, something was posted on his Facebook that was very inappropriate, very disgusting.
Oh, God.
Not him. Okay. And we all responded going, okay, Ben's been hacked. This is not him. And I don't know if it's still up on his Facebook page or not, but it's very, if you want me to look really quick, I can tell you if it's still there.
Oh God.
I won't say what it is, but I can at least show you guys. But we've tried to get a hold of him. Nobody can reach him. We wanted him for the,
he does not want to be found.
He doesn't. He really doesn't.
It's funny. Natalie said,
yes, it is still up. This?
I mean, are we sure?
Sounds
it's
about
not
right.
Him?
I think that might be Ben.
Might be Mackenzie.
I'm pretty sure.
I'm just saying.
But here are all the comments. Here's Kim ? And then you've got MK. I think Ben's been hacked. I don't see him posting that. Andrea Evans. What? Antoine. Antoine de Cazotte. He responded. This is before the Me Too movement, right?
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Go on Facebook. I saw this
Facebook account just so I can.
I mean, I was like, for real? I was like, there's no way. No. Yeah. Ben would not. As funky as Ben was, he would not post that. No, that's not Ben.
He's not. So. Yeah, that's not Ben.
Well, and if there were a reboot, I think we would have to get.
Oh no, did I lose you guys?
No, here we are.
We're still here. We're just frozen.
You're frozen, but we can hear you. Yeah. Hello? You look real cute.
Yeah, you're not frozen in a weird pose.
No.
What happened?
Oh, I lost you guys.
Oh, you lost us.
Oh, hi. There we are. Okay.
Hello. Okay, great.
Oh, our internet is unstable because this is us.
Oh, is that?
Really?
Yeah, if there was a reboot, I feel like maybe they would want to hire writers who don't hate women. I don't know. I mean, it might be a good idea.
Okay, weirdly enough, I had joined the Bay with Gregory Martin, who is the sweetest heart on the planet.
Okay, the Bay is, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, I believe, the Bay is like a sort of
digital soap opera.
Web series soap opera, right. Okay.
Yeah, and it's on Amazon.
Okay.
And I remember when I joined that, Jade Harlow, who is also in Passion, she's on it. And she's won the Emmy for The Bay. She's phenomenal. She's done incredible. I mean, she's just become an amazing, she always was a great actress, but she's gotten even better. And so I remember off camera, she and I talking one day and telling her some of my stories and what I'd been through. And she said, you know, women were hated on that show. I was like, what? And she said, they purposely were trying to find everything they could on our personal life and throw it into our storylines. And I was like, okay, that kind of makes sense with what I had to do. But I don't know. I don't know. This is something she told me. And I was like, that is an interesting point of view.
Listen, I wouldn't be surprised.
That is fascinating.
That's why I got out when I did.
Because, yeah.
I didn't need that shit.
Yeah.
You did some great work after, I got to say.
She's doing all right.
I'm doing okay.
She's doing all right.
But I cut my teeth on this show. I will say, I mean, it definitely taught me a lot of
learned everything.
What not to do. I think that there's a lot to be said.
In
doing soaps and learning what not to do. I mean, you know, there's some great benefits to being able to learn how to memorize lines so quickly. But I think for me, I was just very conscious of unlearning bad habits that are very specific to the soap genre that don't work elsewhere.
Right.
But yeah, I was painfully aware of the woman issue that they had, especially with my character. I was really torn because I needed the job because I didn't want to hoof it anymore. I was so sick of auditioning. I was so sick of being broke and I felt really hypocritical because I did have this sort of burgeoning feminist sort of agenda bubbling inside of me. And it felt so counterintuitive to come to work and to profess, you know, have my character profess my love to a person who's saying to my face, I'm not into you and you're gross. And me going, that's cool.
Right. That's okay.
Yeah. I'm going to hang out anyway.
Yeah.
I think that, and it was just such a, and I don't want to beat a dead horse because I'm going to talk about this a lot, but it was just such a recurring theme that it felt intentional. It really felt intentional.
I got to tell you, it's something I've never told you. But I remember seeing you in like the hair and makeup room. And I always admired you so much because I always looked at you like, God, I wish I could speak up like she does.
Oh God.
I could have the strength and the constitution that this woman has. Cause I just don't want a girl. We were girls. I just remember looking at you going, I wish I had that strength because I didn't. I didn't have the voice that I have now.
Yeah.
But I didn't have it then. And I would always look at you and I'd be like, God, she's awesome. She's
Mackenzie.
Strong. God, I wish I could be like her.
You can. You are.
Yeah. Well.
You are.
Yeah.
I mean,
now I'm closer, but I just back then I always admired you so much for the strength of a woman that you are. And because I could see that. I could see that some of these storylines pissed you off. And I could see that.
I wasn't great at hiding it.
You were not, no. But I loved that about you. I thought that was so admirable. And it's funny, I was telling Patrick when I stepped away, same thing with Travis. I said that what I loved is that we were like two of the few that came from a theatrical background.
Yeah.
Right.
And really true. And you as well, Natalie, really there weren't many that came from a theatrical background. They were either plucked off a GQ magazine or the runway. Not many came from true acting. And when I remember when Travis left, I was like, damn it. And you too. I was like, seriously?
I did. I watched a scene. Of course, it was a scene of us in Sheridan's cabin cottage. And we were talking about Gwen. And it was just really, it was for the first time since I've started watching that I actually enjoyed what I was doing, and I could see how I just was much more relaxed when working with you.
Yeah.
And how we had our own kind of chemistry.
Yeah.
Worked really well with that dynamic.
No, I completely was the same way. That when you and I had scenes together, it was just
like, yay.
I know. It was like, yay, a professional. Nothing against anybody else. And this is not to be negative to anybody else.
But it also
different. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it also meant like we weren't doing something ridiculous, like,
right,
you know, screaming at Luis for the 100th time about the same damn thing, you know, like,
because your scenes, our scenes were always different than, I mean, right. After how many times of having to say, Marty, where's my son? Or, oh, I feel like someone walked over my grave.
Right.
How many times can you say that? And I don't think I said that during our scenes, which I always welcomed our scenes because of that being one reason where, you know, our conversations, even if I was doing yoga in your face, was still a conversation that had meaning to it.
You guys,
yes, we were having a conversation.
The scenes between you guys did feel different. Despite the fact that Sheridan and Ethan were down to fuck.
Definitely.
Aside
they really were. You're out.
DTF.
DTF.
Oh no, I lost you again.
I know. Well, I don't. I think it.
We have.
I don't know if it's
our. There?
We are here. Can you hear us?
Hello, hello.
Yeah. I wonder if I should switch to the Wi-Fi.
Where did I lost you?
We're here.
Damn it. Everything's working.
I lost. Okay. They're back.
Are you here? Okay.
Yeah.
Hi.
Even a connection is unstable.
Yeah. Our characters really were dumb. We were dumber than a box of rocks. And that's really, one of the things I loved about our characters too. You know, I mean, both Sheridan and Ethan were.
Oh, everyone. God, there were no Rhodes Scholars on this show. It's okay.
No. No, but we really, I think we probably were two of the dumbest. Sorry, Travis.
No, it's like.
No, Ethan was super dumb.
As we talked about it, like the first episode, about how many cases I lost as a lawyer.
That's like, right. You were a lawyer.
That's what I said.
And I said, oh yeah, it was terrible. And it was contract law.
I forgot you were a lawyer because you're so dumb. Oh my God.
I'm so glad that I wasn't the only one. I felt like such an asshole that I didn't remember that.
I forgot. I don't know why I thought Ethan was just like living off of family money.
Because he was.
He
was going to get into politics too, guys.
Yeah.
That's right.
That was all.
Oh my God, it gets better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was just, I had no job. I was living off of family money.
Well, you weren't supposed to be working.
No, I was just there. I was a philanthropist.
You were there for Luis.
Yes, right. You were there to support Luis's storyline.
That's right. But before that, was there with the French man.
Yes.
Well, yeah. I mean, you had to be there for a man,
right? Yes, you had to be there.
Right. But, that was a thing.
That French guy. Yeah.
Yes.
Oh,
yes.
So after Passions.
Yeah, that guy.
Okay. Do you remember though that he had a thing about showing up on set in a robe with nothing on underneath?
Oh no! Wait, I don't. What the fuck, man? What?
Wait, what?
I like to show up without my shirts on. And
I think this is what also kind of scared me getting involved with the French man. Because I was like, well, wait a second. Are you going to be like,
yeah.
Will you good in person? Like when we go out in public, are you going to like,
keep wear clothes?
Yeah. Oh man. I remember he was a very strange cat.
That there were some even more interesting stories there.
Yeah.
I could go all day. But I do.
I could go all day.
I really want to get to All My Children. I know this is a Passions podcast, but I want to ask you about All My Children and how, and I think I probably know the answer to this, but
I have some questions.
How it compared to Passions, because I found that when I would test for other soaps, which was all of them, I really enjoyed soap dialogue. I thought it was really easy to memorize.
Yeah.
And I thought it was very efficient. And then I got to Passions and I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
They weren't following those rules.
No.
How did you find the transition?
It was night and day. It really was night and day. And I remember I did not audition for that role because it was a very small role. Yeah. I just remember getting the phone call from my manager at the time. How do you feel about uprooting to New York and doing all my children? I was like, yes, I need, you know, I was all for it. Because I'd stepped away for a little bit and dove even further into holistic medicine, training, nutrition. So I was really, and I was working with someone at the time, a local holistic doctor.
What was the time?
How long was it?
Let's see. That was 2008. Passions ended. I would say it was about a year.
Okay.
I think it was a year. Yeah. I was like around 2009 that I did all my children.
Okay.
And I think I was there for 6 months. And I just uprooted the family. We moved there and it was night and day. Because I remember Susan Lucci was my next door neighbor in as the dressing rooms. And she really took me under her wing and showed me the ropes.
Nice.
She was amazing. All the actors on that show were phenomenal. There was just one actress that I had a little bit of a run in because I remember being kind of new on set and I was like that, you know, little puppy dog, like super excited to be there. And apparently I was in her eye line while she was trying to do a scene and she yelled cut and she said, can she please leave? And And I was so embarrassed. I felt so bad. But I get it. I do. And I understand it. You know,
there are other ways of going.
There are other ways of doing it, but I do get it. So the wild thing with doing all my children was, you know, set up for us here in Los Angeles. It's so like nonchalant, easy, you know, but when you're in New York and you're having to get on a subway and you're having to like get a taxi and like walk, it's a whole other, and even the way their building was, like for us, everything was outdoors and we had our two sets, but there, everything was in a big building.
Yeah.
Like you went to floor two and there were the dressing rooms, floor three were the sets. So everything was indoors and everything was by elevator. And it was very interesting. I loved the dialogue. I loved that character. You know, even though she was evil, the only like negatives that came off of it were that I remember leaving set one day and this guy came up to me and spit on me and just said, you were disgusting. You are vile for trying to kill Annie. How dare you try to kill Annie? And thank God, Aiden, who was one of the actors, was with me and he stood up for me and got in between me and the guy and was like, dude, back off now.
Wow.
So that was my only like bad run-in.
There are soap opera fans like that.
Oh yeah, there are.
There, yeah.
But I, you know, overall the experience was phenomenal. It was an amazing experience. They were so kind to me. They were so sweet. The only frustrating thing was that we couldn't quite lock in like who to hook me up with. So I kept like making the rounds with different guys. So I was like, then I was like with Aiden and then I was with Tad and like, I just, like they couldn't quite lock it in. And then it got to the point where I was really missing Los Angeles. I was missing my family. I was missing home. And it was about 6 months in. And I said, I can't do this anymore. I miss home. And I left.
So you had a longer contract than 6 months. You were the one who decided to cut it short.
I did. And they just had the character go to jail because they all my children didn't know what was happening. So they just had the character. The character still lives. She just went to jail. So Dr. Riley Sinclair
still in jail.
Went to jail. She's still in jail.
I just remember seeing you. I remember flipping channels.
Get her out.
Get her out, man. I remember flipping channels around that time and seeing you on the show. And
yeah, I was just, like, yay.
And just thinking how lovely it is to see you get to act.
It was real acting. Yeah. The whole thing was about, that was a soap, as the soaps that are even around now.
Yeah.
Very, very actor driven.
Absolutely.
I was very appreciative because I felt like I was surrounded by real actors and I was surrounded by theatrical, like we spoke of, not just people that came off of, you know, some runway. I was surrounded by artists.
Yeah.
And that was the difference. It wasn't just a bunch of models.
Yeah.
So that was the big difference that I felt, that it was, you know, really about the acting. The dialogue changed. Which, like you said, made it easier to memorize because I wasn't repeating myself constantly. Yeah. So I was always saying something new, which was kind of
speaking weird. Like a person.
Yeah, I was speaking like a human being, which was a new thing to learn.
Yeah. Which your brain sort of craves.
Yeah, it did. It did. So I really enjoyed all my children.
That's great. Because I did a soap about three years ago. I did
General Hospital.
General Hospital.
I love General. I've been dying to get back on that one.
Yeah, it was a surreal. It was an out of body experience for me.
It didn't go well.
I had to audition. I had
no, you didn't. Yeah. You did not audition for that. Let me tell the story.
No.
You didn't audition for it.
Yeah.
You auditioned for a different role, and they called and they were like, would Travis.
Sorry. Either way, it's an audition.
Sorry.
Go on. You guys, I love it. It's hysterical. Yeah.
Well, I don't remember anything, and apparently she does.
But that's how husbands and wives work.
Yeah, exactly. But it was a weird experience for me. I'm glad I did it, but the scars from Passions are so deep inside me.
Really? I didn't have that experience with all my children. Thank God. I'm in the basement of my sister-in-law at the time. And I would have to get a bus to Port Authority. Then I would have to get a taxi all the to Upper West 66th Street and then walk a couple blocks. And it was a whole other beast.
That's fun, yeah.
It really was. I remember it was like such a, I just felt so alive during that time. It was it was a rush.
New York.
So it kind of took away the building and, you know, the good, the bad, the ugly, you know, it was everything and nothing. And I love the takeaway that I have from it. I love the character that it's built within me. You know, and even Travis and I spoke the other day about some of the stuff that I dealt with on set. And when I talk about finding that voice, you know, I slowly started to find that voice. And there was a certain character on the show that was mistreating me off set. And off camera when the cameras were not rolling. And there was a certain actor that was being very rude, very mean, touching me inappropriately. And I finally went to, it was the first time I spoke up for myself. And I went to production and I said, it's this person or me. One of us has to go.
You did it.
Wow.
And what did they do?
Well, fired the actor immediately.
Well, yeah, I don't know.
She's still in the she finished the season.
Well, I don't know. Maybe it could have been towards you.
And then they decided to destroy the show.
And then you were like, just kidding.
If Mackenzie's leaving, we're canceling the show.
Yeah, I wish I had that pull.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know, man. Anybody did.
Well, you did, because that's why they fired
him.
But it became a legal thing. NBC Legal stepped in, and you know, I remember the lawyers coming in, and it became a big legal issue. But NBC handled it perfectly and appropriately. And this was before Me Too.
Yeah,
but they handled it the way it should have been handled. So I give NBC a lot of credit, because it was a situation that could have easily been swept under the rug. And but they did it.
Sure.
They stood strong, and they had my back, and they took care of me, and. It wasn't about trying to get someone fired. It was just like, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm not going to go through this anymore. I'm done.
That's incredible. I don't know that I could to this day do that. I think that's the bravest thing that I...
It was scary. I'm not going to lie. It was scary because I did have that fear of, well, what if they say, okay, fine, bye. I did have that thought. They could have. But I'd hit that peak where I thought, I can't be showing up to work like this and dealing with this anymore. I cannot live like this anymore. I can't be showing up in fear. I can't be going home in tears. This is not fair. This is not life. And I love this job, but it's not worth my sanity. So that's where I finally went to the executive.
So smart.
Can't do this.
So smart.
Well, that show did a lot for me too, in terms of those just defining who I was at work, and you know, when to fuck off and when to not, and also just the grueling scheduling of it, and you know, all the shit that just went down.
That's why, didn't you find that it really did in some ways shape you? Because you figure we were all in our 20s.
Yeah.
You were on that show during some of the most crucial years of a person's life.
Yeah.
You know, if not for like child years, 20s are very shaping.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For me to be on there from 20 to 28 and have, you know, all that I dealt with, getting married, having a child. I mean, it just was like so much in my 20s that I'm sure you found the same thing, that it really built who you are today.
Yeah, I grew up pretty fast. I mean, I wasn't quite ready for that experience, which I don't think any of us really were, but
I
survived it.
Yeah, we lived. We survived.
I had
a t-shirt. I survived Passions.
I know. Right, I survived Passions. Yeah, exactly.
It's a new t-shirt.
It's going to be the name of the episode, just so you know.
That's
Valentine's.
That's,
it's already,
that is
it's
our
already
episode
happened.
Name.
There's our I survived Passions.
It's a survivor group.
It's so good. It's so funny.
We are the true survivors.
I survived that.
I know what you're getting for Christmas. What else is there? Anything? I mean, this is such a
so wealth amazing. Of
incredible information. Is there anything else you want to add? We have a million hours, I mean, and this is so we're going to use stuff. Every.
It's so funny. I was like, we're not going to talk that long, and I'm like, wow.
I knew it.
Wow,
put the whole day together.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm glad you did.
Yeah.
Is there anything else? I mean, again, there are things I could probably go. Yeah.
How about this? I was going to say, we got to do this again.
I was going to say, you mind doing like, because we have a third, our friend Ben Hayes, who acts as, he's a Passions virgin. He's not seen the show. So he acts as sort of the outsider's voice, but sometimes Ben's not here and we would love for you to guess.
You know,
I would do it in a heartbeat. Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
And absolutely.
Definitely do like an episode that she picks.
Yes. You have to pick an
episode.
And
then we could, that would be fun too.
Yeah. Cause we're doing episode by episode. Well, just the episodes that we're in, but you should. A special episode that you want to break down.
We'll be in touch about that because that would be fun because that's kind of what we do. We just kind of tear it apart. Yeah. And then what's funny is in watching it, the memories come back of
Do you actually watch the episode?
Yeah,
we watch it and then we
oh my god, I would love that.
Yeah. So thank
you. I would so love that. I mean, there's so many between the past lives and Alice in Wonderland. I mean, there are so many crazy things I remember doing that.
I know, we need to do a Sheridan spinoff, maybe.
Yeah, I
Sheridan for life.
I stumbled on the episode.
Another great title. I like it. You are my Sheridan for life.
Guys, we've created like spin-offs. 3 hours of Peacock content.
Peacock content, yes.
I'm going to go in and pitch Peacock next week. So
I'll join you.
Well, I'm going to do a wrap up then.
Yeah.
Cool.
We'll wrap it up.
I'm just going to say that this was beyond incredible. And thank you so much for being our first and probably only guest because it's never going to get better than this.
And I will step in to be your guest host anytime you want.
Please come back anytime. And see you later. Bye.
Thank you.
Yay.
Once again, we want to thank Mackenzie for joining us and for sharing so very much with us. We had an incredible amount of listener email, and everybody talked about her bravery and her courage and thanked her for being as open as she was. And we share that sentiment. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Mackenzie. This Thursday, we start reading your mail and we're going to answer questions. So when you see a new episode pop up, it's us doing listener mail. It's a little mini-sode. So please listen. As always, please rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Your input translates directly to more listeners, which means more podcast for you. Next week, we are back to the usual format where myself and Ben and Travis talk shit, take names, you know, passion style. So please join us. And as always, thanks for listening.